Virgin always hates when we say we started four friends in a garage, and he said, no, 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 you cannot say that anymore. No, 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 that was the start. Don't say that, please don't say that. Yeah, but we are four friends that started from the garage.
Podden of Hantverksbira is back with another episode, and this one is on English, and we have the pleasure to have Pulfer, brewery from Croatia.
In Croatia, a lot of people make the same mistake of the Pulfer.
Thank you for saving me. Thank you. And he is visiting the Beer and Whiskey Festival in Gothenburg, and he's at the stand of Masterbrew Craft, who is the importer of this fancy brewery. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
And you really have to help me with pronounce your name again.
Ozren.
Ozren.
You can call me Ozzy, Oz.
Yeah, that's great.
Oggy. That's,
you have a lot of nicknames.
Yeah, I have a lot of nicknames, yeah. But
really nice to have you here, and we caught you here in like 12 o'clock, and the festival here is almost crowded already, so yeah. It will be a heavy day for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will be here all day?
I'll try to be all day. Maybe if we would take a pause and during the lunch break or something. Yeah.
So the name of the brewery, does it have a special meaning?
Okay, the name of the brewery, yeah. It's the backside of the tram, that connection point between two carts. Ah. And people used to drive on that. It is illegal, but it's... teenager rebellency kind of thing, and a lot of people were driving on that. And we wanted to do this rebellion kind of theme to and connect the trams from the Zagreb and tram theme on the beers. Yeah. So when we started, it was all about trams, and we have. One of our core beers is Lansky Session IPA. It's a classical Session IPA, 4.5% of alcohol. And we did it to, it's called for Paula Lansky. Paula is a first conductor, women conductor during the Second World War. Ah. Yeah. The guys went to the front and women stayed, and somebody had to do something. Yeah,
yeah.
And we did the beer for in her name. How do you say? Okay.
Yeah.
So the tram is the signature thing that we did with core beers and with specialty or seasonal or every month. New beer. Mm-hmm. We do all variety of fun jokes on the can art and everything that comes with a free and open mind and doing just what we want to do.
Yeah. Before we go back with the history, you have, the beers here that are really, the people really are looking at all the sours, the pastry sours and the...
Yeah,
you can have whatever strange color on the beer.
The thing is that at one point we wanted to do something completely different, something that nobody has done and nobody is doing. And we started to do sour smoothies. It's a smooth sour beer, 5% alcohol with 50% of fresh fruit in it, with some toppings, you can say.
Toppings, yeah.
Yeah. So we did a crazy variety of testing and doing crazy variety of sour smoothies. Today we have four smoothies here you can try.
Yeah.
One of the smoothies we have here to test.
And I see on the cans when you see them in the refrigerator, it really pops out. So there's a lot of colors on them. There's a lot of art.
So
you try to. So do you do the art as part of your team, or is that sort of?
We have the guys from Young Kamov Design. They are from Rijeka, the city near Zagreb on the sea. Mm-hmm. We connected immediately with them and started talking about to do all the labor work for us. They are punching this crazy labor art every month, 4, 5, 6, 7 labels per month, and every time the label is super fresh, super all colors. We wanted all colors just to pop up in the refrigerator. When you watch the refrigerator, you want to be noticed because everybody has some crazy design or design of some sort. You want to be recognized by something and you want to pop out, because when you go to the refrigerator and you have 200, 300 beer labels and you are watching them, you don't know what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the first time, first contact is the label.
Yeah.
So you have to have a good label, yeah.
So do you work together on the concepts? Like, do you present something to them, the idea with the beer and what you try to achieve, etc., and then they sort of make up a label?
Yeah, now that was the start, but now we have much fun with them and have our own jokes that we have in the group, and now they do art and then we do beer and then we do beer and then do art. It's
back and forth.
It's back and forth.
Creative collaboration.
Yeah, yeah. I said, yeah, they are our friends, and we connected on a so high level that it's super easy to work with them. Yeah.
So you said it's even the opposite true, as you said, that they actually create art and then you create a beer matching the art.
Yeah.
So it's not just the beer that
because of the way of thinking. They have the same way of thinking as we do, and they know what we are thinking and we know what they are thinking. The first few labels we controlled the thinking, what would they do. Mm. And when you work with somebody and it's always procedure expectations, then you take it easy and give them the opportunity to do whatever they want to do, not to control everything, because they are always on the high level of the design. Mm.
Because I talked to another craft brewery, a Swedish one called Fermenterarna, the girl there, sometimes she draw the label before they have the beer, so they match the beer for the label.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that we do.
Yeah,
that's great. And the jokes that we do, the jokes with the cans, especially the cans with, we always put. It's not on this. It's not on this one. Yeah, number eight. We have this joke that we do with number eight.
Okay.
When you say it, I say something else. But
okay. Before we continue, can we pour this one?
Yeah,
I think you can do it. And then it's actually the first beer we try from your brewery, and it's really
it's really thick.
Really thick.
The name smoothie really stands out when we see you pour it up.
You understand why it's called smoothie.
So this one is that. So this is a sour beer with like 50% fruit in it.
Yeah, this is not a 50% fruit beer. This is a little bit less, but we did it with cheesecake powder mix, and that's the consistency. Because if you put a lot of fruit and then the cheesecake powder mix, it will just be a block of cheesecake powder cheesecake. Yeah. So the cheesecake powder is here to with the and it this is the collaboration with White Dog. It's a Norwegian.
Norwegian. Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Dutch.
Yeah. Okay. Norwegian. Yeah. I can check it out.
He came to Croatia and wanted to do some collaboration in that kind of style, so we did the first collaboration with him. It's a smoothie sourish beer with pineapple, banana,
mango,
lemon pie,
vanilla
lemon pie. Yeah.
But when you pour it, the first you didn't have any head on it, but the head actually
Yeah, because of the density of the liquid, it slowly comes up.
Yeah, that's interesting. It usually goes the other way around. But the head is from the start, but here the head is creating after like 10 seconds. It's really a hint of sour, maybe some vanilla, and you can only almost smell that it's really thick.
Yeah,
it's strange.
But I think the smell of
the banana is also
the banana pops out, the mango a little bit, subtle, pineapple a little bit also.
Pineapple.
So you got several of those flavors in the aroma of it. But when you do these kind of beers, I guess, do you work with like regular malts initially? So is it Pilsen malt that is the sort of
it's something that you it depends on what kind of beer it's ours. It starts at like Berliner Weiss, 11% Berliner Weiss, and then we cut it down with the fruit to become. It's 6%. This is because of the less fruit. The smoothies are 5.5% of alcohol because of the bigger percentage of fruit in it.
Yep.
So yeah, it's the beer is not the something that you have to or hops you have to worry about this because you don't. Taste the beer. We put hops.
Yeah, in it. Sort of.
Just to say.
Masquerade by all the others.
You cannot. Nobody can taste hops in it because it's not a lot of hops. But you have to put it because it's a beer. The main thing is fruits and in this beer this cheesecake powder.
Yeah. Do you think that you gained a lot of new beer drinkers or customers that are not like into regular beer with these kinds of beerish beer?
Yeah, first time we did this kind of beer, a lot of people said that this, first of all, isn't a beer. In France, when something contains more than 20% of fruit, it isn't beer anymore. Okay. But we say it's beer because it started as a beer and we just put the fruit in it. So a lot of people were saying no to this, but as the time passes the acceptance is bigger and bigger, and especially in this part of the Europe. Because the open-mindedness, or you have craft revolution, craft beer for a long time, and you have a lot of breweries that are best in the world, and you can taste a lot of things. And when something like this comes, you know what to expect maybe, and that's why the Scandinavia and everywhere is the maybe the best part of Europe that drinks sour smoothies.
Yeah, and I can also think that maybe Sweden and the Nordics are like small countries, and they are always taking influences from abroad and outside. But like France, they have their own strong old culture that they are like taking care of. So maybe we are more open-minded, as you said, for new influences.
The France, they say, wow, it's a cool beer, but yeah.
It's not a beer.
It's a cool thing to talk about, but not, thank you very much. Here, the people are enjoying this as something completely different and open-minded to trying a new thing.
But how do you like look for new markets to grow in? Yeah, to export and grow.
To export. First, we try to open markets, but as our untapped scale number grow. A lot of importers called us, and now they are calling us because of the beers that we do. Because all of our beers is 4+ on the untapped, and that's something interesting to have and to sell because of the untapped.
Okay. So Untap pretty much drove your ambitions to go abroad.
Yeah. But the Untapped is a tool to promote, and when you have good Untapped numbers, people start to check on you, and you are on the radar too, and you look good. And that's how it's now going. And we have, I don't know, Korea, China. Are trying to get our smoothies to them because of the Untapped.
But do you feel like, I mean, Sweden was quite early in the craft beer scene, but do you feel like other markets on and countries are now coming up on the same levels, or are they
behind? A bit behind. A lot of people are doing these smoothies, but not with that amount of fruit. And the thing is that when you are doing this kind of beer, it's very it's not cheap, and everything is expensive, especially fruit. And a lot of breweries don't want to do something like that, and because of we are a very small brewery, we can jump from beer to beer and style to style very easily without a lot of complications. And we don't have to do big batches. And that's why we do crazy stuff as much as we can.
So you take this one as an example. So what's the batch size when you try this one out?
I think it was 1,000 liters. Okay. Yeah, 1,000 liters. Okay. We didn't do much more than that.
But you experimented in much smaller batches initially to sort of...
We just go.
You just go and see what happens.
Gina, as head brewer, knows what he's doing, and we do the experiment like this. When we started doing these smoothies, we were thinking what combo of the fruit will be good. And then you go to your local supermarket and watch the kid foods, smoothie for kids. And you see the combinations. That's something that people are used to. And that's how we started of doing these combos and trying what would be good for the smoothies.
You don't have to invent it by yourself. You have some help with the...
No. It's an easy thing to do. But the balance, to balance the beer afterwards, it's much more chemical.
These kinds of beer, do you think that they are attracted by younger people more, or...?
I think that this kind of beer attracts every beer geek who wants to know something that he wants to taste something that it's not normally in the freezers. But the average beer drinker is and our consumer is around 35 to 40 years. That's the margin you're looking for.
But when you brew like your core beer, or ordinary beers, then do you do a batch of 1,000 liters as well, or?
No. We do pale ales, 4,000 liters per month. Session IPA is around that number, and the lager is, it depends on what month we do, but the lager always pops out in the summertime, and Session IPA is now going out. The pale ale is our best seller. But yeah, we have to have that kind of beer. But the thing is that specialty beers are something that we are very proud of, and we are trying to do. Imperial Stouts is something that we are now very passionate about. Next week we will have a whiskey barrel aged Imperial Stout. Yeah, that's the next up that we are doing. So yeah, we had saisons, a lot of saisons. I enjoy saisons as a beer style.
You really brew like all of the styles.
We did the four season saisons. Every season one saison beer, and it was a hoppy saison, double dry hopped hoppy saison, and we had apricot jelly bean saison, and we had blueberry blackberry sour saison.
So even inside like a traditional style, you also experiments a little bit. You said a jelly bean
apricot saison. It was a super fun beer.
Yeah.
The beer that we are trying to push as our beer style that we are doing is Imperial Pastry Hefeweizen. It's a Hefeweizen 8% alcohol. Fermented on the banana puree, and then we put some cocoa beans, chocolate, or vanilla, coconut, coffee. We did it three times, and it's a very fun beer because I like the Hefeweizen. We had Hefeweizen in our standard beer range. And it was 2 years in a row in top five Hefeweizen in the world. And we wanted to let's do it something a little more to pop this banana up and try to do something different things. Yeah, but yeah.
But you still keep like the structure of beer, so can you still tell that it's a Hefeweizen that is sort of
foundation. Of course.
So you don't sort of lose that you're just trying to amplify the different flavors.
Yeah, the classical Hefeweizen has this banana feeling into it, putting the banana puree in the fermentation just puts the banana flavor up a little bit, and the thickens a little bit the beer. So it's not as this, but the same direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. A fun beer.
Yeah.
People either hate it or love it. That's the
You can't please everyone.
You can't please everyone, but we are excited to do something stuff like this. Yeah.
But do you think is it the experiment, the willing to experiment? Is it a way to please all the geeks that always want a new beer, or is it more a way of experimenting and having fun?
Okay, I enjoy experimenting and making a good new beer. But sometimes when we do a good beer and we don't do it again, like this one, it's a thing that I want to drink something that we did the best kind of beer, you know? When something is good, you want to drink it again.
Yeah.
And we'll never do it again, actually. Maybe in a few years when market forgets that we did it the first time. Yeah, but so that's the balance. We want to do new beers, but yeah, you cannot repeat the same beer because of the market and that's the thing that I'm not enjoying because of the market demands always new beers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, we have new fresh ideas constantly, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible to sustain to be and grow if you always have to do a new beer, or is it
because we do very small batches. So something like this is 1,000 liters for whole Europe. You know, yeah. it's not much. A lot of countries get maybe one or two packs of these 24 cans. That's not enough for, say, France or Sweden or something.
No, of course not.
Yeah. So bigger batches of that kind of experimental beer is the way to go.
And I mean, the bulk of your business is still traditional beers, so that's where you
have
big volume, and that's where
you have to leave from the standard beers and then experiment as much as you can. But
but also the experimentation can be a marketing thing as well.
Of course,
so you can attract people to the brand, build a relationship by the brand by having these special beers.
Yeah.
Potentially try to get people more into the traditional beers as well.
Yeah, the thing is that when you try this one, you say, okay, this is good, but you have to drink something that's drinkable and easygoing. And this is a cool beer to drink in the summertime. And you can drink maybe one, two, it's sticky, and you're not, if you are thirsty, you will not drink this three times, three beers of this. But it's fun to drink and fun to talk about when you're drinking, I don't know, some IPA, classical West Coast IPA, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's new stuff. It's definitely new to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
I haven't tried these kind of beers before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting aspect, definitely. And if you like this kind of like smoothie style beers, I think it has great flavors. You also feel the sourness a little bit in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the banana and the lemon parts sort of pops up. So I think it's interesting and enjoyable beer. And something to talk about, definitely.
Yeah.
So I think it can be like a magnet to the brand as well. Something that will interest people
in what
you do and what your brewery do. And that could sort of spin out to different of other types
of
customer relationships.
Yeah, like a door opener for something else.
Yeah. So we do the classical IPAs, double IPAs, triple IPAs, West Coast, East Coast, Mountain, New England. We do everything. Because we do two sours, then double IPA, then IPA, then New England IPA, then two sours, and then, you know, we're trying to do, to cover the whole range of beers. You cannot just drink. Mm-hmm. We want to represent our brewery through whole style, or whole variety of styles that are currently, how do you say that? Currently, people are wanted to drink, I don't know, West Coast Lager is now, New England Pale Ale is now very, very drinkable beer.
So West Coast Lager?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever had a West Coast Lager, have you? Not like called it a West Coast Lager.
It's a lager with West Coast hops.
Yeah.
So it's like modern lager.
Yeah, like an India Pale Lager, but the West Coast style of it.
Yeah. It's drinkable, it's a lager, but very hoppy characteristics of an IPA. So very drinkable, very hoppy, and very fun to do.
Yep.
Yeah. We did two of West Coast lagers. We always do them with West Coast rock and roll bands. The first one was the Firstborn Unicorn from the Red Hot Chili Peppers song, and we did the unicorn with the all fluffy and everything on the can art. That's the magnet on the in the freezers, yeah.
So we talked a lot about like the export markets, but if you go down back to Croatia and like the beer market in Croatia, is that sort of more conservative?
Yeah. The domestic sales are more like pale ales and lagers. Okay, you can sell IPAs, but pale ales are the most sold craft style. And of course, lagers, pilsners, and stuff like that. But people are enjoying more and more some IPAs and double IPAs. But I said, if you do New England Pale Ale, it's super sellable beer.
Even inside of Croatia?
Yeah, that kind of beer we do mostly for Croatia, because you have to start with easy drinkable beer and then scale it up.
Yeah. And also, if you can sort of present that beer quite fresh to the audience,
that's a super
plus as well.
Yeah. Because when we do, I don't know, triple IPA, the people are saying that, okay, the beer geeks are the different kind of people, you know. But the majority of...
The
mainstream doesn't get it. Why do you do this overwhelming, super alcoholic beer? When you drink one, it's 10% of alcohol, 8% of alcohol, 9% of alcohol, and you're drunk and it's why do you do that? Why don't you drink 5 beers and have a good time? Yeah? So the market is interesting, opened, but not as opened as your area. Yeah. Or
no, in Sweden and I guess in the Nordics, the heavy beers, the really strong ones, high ABV has really taken a really good piece of the cake here of the beer geeks.
And yeah, that's why we do. We have the Cyberpunk by the games Cyberpunk. We have the Cyberpunk triple IPA, Cyberpunk series. So yeah, we did two of them. Now we have a third that is coming. It's we did the beer and the guys from the Young Camus Design did the, of course, labels and the stickers and a comic for the each beer that comes out. So we have the comic with the beer that's coming. Yeah, that's all. That's something that Jan Kamov is wanted to do as a plus on the beer. Mm. Yeah, not just the beer label.
So going back to Croatia a little bit. So how did your own beer interest spark? Your own beer interest. How did that sort of spark initially? What got you interested or into this?
I am a big hockey fan, and I was going on hockey matches every 2 days, and we were drinking beer as much as we could drink on the day of the match. And the beer revolution started in that same period. And then it was primarily about lagers and pilsners. And when I discovered that beer isn't only that, that beer can be a lot of things, a lot of flavors. One of my first beers that I tried was a Punk IPA, and I was overwhelmed. I didn't know how can somebody do such a good beer and it's not a lager. And then from that on, I enjoy very much classical IPAs and Hefeweizens and lagers and the strong ones, maybe imperial stouts, but the triple IPAs is something that I like to taste, but not as much as enjoy to drink them, because I like to drink quantities and not small amounts. I'm a quantity guy.
Yeah.
And sort of taking that step from the passion of beer and discovering beers to actually do something commercial with it.
Okay, yeah, we started talking, let's do beer, because of the I learned that beer is something that you can do in you can brew and then 20 days afterward you can drink it. Now I thought that wine is much easier to do. And when I learned that beer is easier than wine, and I love beer, not wine, I said, let's go open a brewery. We didn't know anything about beer. We thought that beer is produced with from hops, not from, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So and zero. This was a couple of friends of yours.
Yeah.
Sort of get together,
so we get together.
This crazy idea.
We get together, drink coffee, and said, okay, let's open up the brewery. And in 390 days from let's open up a brewery and started learning about beer and brewing, we started to brew the big batches, 500 liter batches. From then on we had 7 test batches, and after that we came on the market we were the contract brewery at the first for 3 years almost, and then we opened up our brewery at July 2019.
That's when you started your own, and then you contract 3 years before that.
Yeah,
then you experimented for a year. So
no, we started experimenting during the Corona time because of the Corona hit when we brewed the Death by IBO, and it was the most expensive beer that we brewed till then, and it was sold out, but it didn't came out because of the Corona hit that weekend. of the release, and everything was locked, went locked down. And we started selling beer door to door, and by Facebook and by friends and family. And noticed that people are really enjoying this type of super hoppy and I could say expensive beer, because we never did such quite expensive beer till then. And then we said, okay, our fermenters are empty, let's do this kind of IPAs, double IPAs, and then saisons and sours, and then and people will start buying them more and more. And then when Corona and the lockdown ended, we just continued to do the same thing as we do during the lockdown. Yeah.
So when you started up there in sort of the garage, a couple of friends, did you have? So no one really had any brewing experience. No one had sort of tried at home before, through the process or anything like that.
The first time I saw somebody brew a beer was at my friend Luca, who brewed one beer before.
You started this.
And he was my mentor, and I was taking notes what he is saying. I have a sketch in the brewery still of that moment, because I couldn't see anybody, because we didn't have any home brewers. We did, but it was a small community who kept themselves together. And once 2014, when Zmajska Pivovara and Nova Runda came out, everything exploded, and a lot of home brewers started to do their own beer. We also, and then everything went after that. Yeah, but we didn't have any experience. I thought that beer is from hops. Yeah.
You mean how hard can it be?
Yeah. What can I miss? Yeah, it's okay.
Not by doing.
Okay. I wanted to do something that's. I wanted to produce something that's healthy, and then I didn't want to leave Croatia. A lot of my generation went to Ireland or abroad because of the European Union and boundaries got opened up, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to stay in Croatia, and I said, okay, you have till you're 35, you'll see what you've done with the brewery, and you'll see if you are okay or not. The brewery opened up and everything is okay, and it's a love story. But I wanted to do something that I never done before. I was in the printing and sign making for 15 years and didn't know anything about beer except drinking it.
Yeah.
That's great. I think we should let you go back to the stand on Mostebo and just serve some of the beer gigs here, with some of your amazing beers in a lot of different colors. So.
Yeah. And we look forward to seeing more of your creations coming into Sweden.
Yeah, really.
Look forward.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. And if you are in Zagreb at any time, just call me and we'll have a brewery experience time. Yeah.
We'll definitely let you know.
Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.